years did you attend as
22, 23.
Both of you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh, I see. So that's when you
We didn't know each other then.
Oh, you didn't?
The boys didn't speak to the girls.
I was afraid to speak to girls.
Then we both went to teach in the normal school the same year, 47.
47.
We hardly knew each other then.
That's when they went back to Lansdowne, wasn't
the year,
it?
The second year. They went back in 46. Mm-hmm. And we were invited up to teach in 47.
What did you teach when you were up there?
I taught early childhood education, teaching how to teach the young children.
Mm-hmm.
I see. And parenting. Oh, there were very few of us, so we were sort of general. Everything. I was the social convener, and you were. What were you?
Oh, I looked after the literary society.
Yeah, you know, it probably.
And the first year was supposed to be an athletic coach for the basketball team. I didn't care for the job.
The literary society played a very important part.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Well, yeah. I looked after the literary society from the second year I was there, and.
Mr. Gallagher did it before.
You had a. A new committee, a committee for each half term, you see. We put on a one-hour program each Friday afternoon. Now, that was already in force when we were students there. And sometimes you would get an outside speaker, sometimes a play, sometimes a skit, talks by the students, and so on. And amongst other things that had changed by the time we went as instructors there was that at the beginning of the year, now this may have happened only with Mr. English becoming principal, I don't know, but different students in the morning assembly, we always had a morning assembly every morning, and there was always some talk or even a short play or something of the sort after the Lord's Prayer and the reading of the scripture, and different people would take part in that, but near the beginning of the year, there was always the opportunity for students to speak about their own religious affiliation and the churches to which they went, so as to acquaint the out-of-town students with the different places of worship in town. And you see, I don't know whether you are aware, but from the time of the building of the normal school in 1915, there was a government regulation, provincial government regulation, that all the students from a line north and east of Powell River to Hope, you just drew that line, all those had to come to Victoria, unless they had relatives who lived in Vancouver with whom they could board. So most of the upcountry students came to the Victoria Normal School rather than the Vancouver Normal School, which was older. Of course, the Vancouver Normal School dates, I think, from about 1902. And this situation really obtained almost until 1956, when when teacher education became a function of the university, and then it gradually broke down. Now there's no such regulation. Incidentally, in 1922, 1923, the students who came from out of town had their return railway fare paid. And you can look up the old register, which used to be in the registrar's office, and you'll see the amounts paid to each student. So somebody coming from Fernie got quite a bit of money. But you see, that made it easier for them to come. So that encouragement was given.
In the year that you were in the normal school, 22-23, were jobs hard to get, or were they
no,
fairly
no,
simple to get?
No, they were easy, but within a year or two, conditions changed.
So I was wondering
if this money paid to the students to come down and back.
No.
Would help to get more teachers.
The situation was such that teachers were still in short supply, particularly in the outlying areas.
I didn't get a job until Christmas that year. But then my sister and I had been in California with relatives for the summer, and we were late getting back. So the jobs were filled. And one of my pals in my class I was in class A because my name began with a C, you see. So she had to go across the Alberta border to get a school, a little rural school. So there weren't thousands of jobs
there. No, but nobody need go without. You didn't
large.
Find the situation that later obtained when girls particularly who didn't get jobs were working in Woolworths, as many of them did. But not in our year. No, there were still plenty of jobs. You would get a list of fake. I could have had several different jobs. Although I too was out of town during the time when I should have been scouting around. I had to work. I went over to Everett because I had a friend there who was timekeeper on a building. He said, oh, come on over here and I'll get you a job. So that was it. And then I had to slip home during one weekend to arrange it.
John Goff was our year at that same time.
Yeah.
So was Mr. Jones. We were all in that 22, 23 class.
Was it understood at that point that once women got married, that was the end of her teaching career?
Pretty well.
In the city, anyway.
Yes.
Unless your husband was an invalid.
I knew of only two women at the time in the Victoria system, three, Mrs. Dixon, three who were teaching, and their husbands were all incapacitated or they were widows.
And they got less money in those days. There was a scale for women and a scale for men.
Women got less money.
Women got less.
Well, teaching wasn't a very well-paying job. Anyway.
No, you're not 10 months.
But
the
then
year.
Again, relative to others, it was all right.
It was better than working in a store. It was, you know, for levels.
When you got your first job, it was generally thought that you'd go out into the country.
Yes, I went to a divorce school.
It was sort of understood that you did, and certainly it was, in a sense, encouraged because the out-of-country experience was quite different from that of the city. I know, I feel that those who came from normal school and went right into the city, as I could have done, incidentally, felt that they, at least I feel they lost
something. Oh, you lost your tell my girls that.
Yes.
Go and stay the year anyway, but you'll never regret it.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, but you'll never go out in the country once you're in the city.
No,
there's something for
you. Not unless you have to.
Yeah.
I went, first of all, I was interested in going up to the area out of Prince Rupert, but the registrar at the department said, no, Mr. Brand, I would suggest you take this one, and that was at Ganges in Salt Spring Island, so I went to Ganges, you see. Then I came into the city after that. And then later on, when I was at university, during the middle period, I went both to Port Alberni and to Quesnel. I was at Quesnel for 2 months and Port Alberni for 1 month. So the out-of-town experience was very valuable.
When you were attending normal school, were there any instructors that really stood out in your mind? You felt...
Oh, yes.
They were all good, I thought.
Yes.
You know, we were taught just in our ordinary school days, you looked up to your teachers. And I found the normal school people extremely, I might not today, but I did then.
Well, they were traditional, there's no question about that. But I had been working for 2 years before I went to normal school. I'd been working in an office. And when I went to normal school, I was so agreeably surprised to find the change, or the, not the change so much as the difference between their way of handling a subject and what I recall from my elementary school days. I mean, there was a good deal of emphasis upon the meaning behind the thing. Now, one thing I would say that was lacking, perhaps, was the insistence on any attempt to teach youngsters to think for themselves. That was not emphasized, and still is not emphasized much in schools today. Not as much as it might be, and in my own teaching perhaps I didn't do, I know I didn't do what should have been done. But the two that stand out in my mind were the principal, Mr. McLaurin, after whom the McLaurin building is named, at my suggestion incidentally, and the other one was Mr. Denton, who became principal after Mr. McLaurin. They both subsequently obtained doctorates. He was probably the most colorful individual of the whole lot.
He didn't like women, so I don't remember him very well.
He didn't like women.
He just hated women.
We were 65 men all
one class,
sitting in the aisles and everything else. But he had worked on a banana ship between the West Indies and New York and Boston, you see. And he knew his geography very, very well, but he was as colorful as you like, rough as a diamond, with, you know, tattoos on his arm and so on.
I never saw them.
Yes, oh well, he was there.
He used to sit down and look at us like this. You know,
we liked him. And he afterwards, collaborated with his opposite number in the Vancouver Normal School and produced a geography which was used for a number of years. I had even to use it in high school. It was the only text, Denton and Lord.
Didn't Mr. McLaurin also write an English text?
No, he wrote a grammar with Campbell.
Dr. Campbell. Was
that was only that wasn't his forte, really. But his teaching of arithmetic was so methodical. I would say, Judy, the only criticism one might have is that you were given a method whereby to teach. I recall very well his method of suggesting that we teach highest common factor and lowest common multiple, about which the youngsters in the school don't know anything today. If you ask them what the highest common factor means, they couldn't
tell. Take out the little machine.
Some of the teachers couldn't tell you. But I recall his method, which was almost foolproof, but the impression you got, you see, was that once you did this, then everybody would know. Well, of course, everybody didn't know. Everybody didn't learn. That was the impression you got, you see. It was so foolproof.
He was a wonderful man.
But he was excellent. But a traditionalist?
Everybody was then. You know.
Yes. Even then he was a traditionalist, and you had to hew to the line, everything. If you were late in the morning, we were all men. Some of them returned, veterans from World War I. You went into his office and explained why you were late. Now, there was never any quibble about it, but you had to do this.
You missed a day absence. You
went and reported it.
He was very fair to everybody, wasn't he?
Oh, fair, absolutely.
Good churchman.
Very, very, very fair. And I recall at the last day, when it came to the breakup. What they did, they gave you a little certificate indicating you had passed, just a little sheet.
It was on your desk, turned up beside, you know, imagine you had sat down with trepidation.
Oh, well, he handed
phoned my mother.
He handed ours out to us.
Oh, no, ours were on the desk. See, each teacher did it.
And he had told me the day before, because I had to do something in the banquet. So he said, now there's no doubt about this. But I recall his saying, well, now, he said, there's some of you about whom I'm not altogether satisfied. But the department needs men. Therefore, you're all gone.
Well, Lynn would like that, wouldn't
it? Yeah.
Did most everybody graduate that year
with
their certificate?
No.
There were some who didn't make
it? No, there were always a few who didn't.
Yeah, for good reasons, I think.
But all the men did. Now, there were one or two who, you know, were just
that's
so-so.
The
but the department taught. Needed men. There were very few men, you see, mostly women. And that was it.
I was going to ask, was there a home economics class? Or
yes,
domestic
and for men, too.
And for the men,
well,
too.
Well,
that was sort of pulled on.
Ours was a sort of an extra to help out those of us who might have to batch.
You learned the basics.
Oh, well, make sandwiches and boil eggs and make an omelette.
Was a great favorite.
We didn't do very many. We didn't have very many.
We had a full course.
But we didn't have a full course. It was just thrown in as an extra.
What was done in the full course?
Well, the usual home ec that we'd had in the school, how to make bread. I had a great big cookbook. The sheets were mimeographed, and they weren't convenient. They were big long. That's all I had property then, and we had to make fancy covers for it. I just gave mine away to a niece recently, but they were all made muffins and things of the day. And then we were responsible, certain girls in the class each week, to make great vats of coffee, which the students could buy at 6 cents for a quarter.
Cocoa.
Not coffee, oh no. Cocoa, we made cocoa.
And we bought it 5 cents a cup at lunchtime,
yes.
You see.
and our friends, we'd give 2 cups when they came. Miss McFarlane, but she was called Lady Mac. We didn't call her that. But
Miss McFarlane.
Miss McFarlane, she was called Lady
Mac.
Oh,
she was a dear. She was
very nice. But
we all liked her.
Yeah.
What was that home economics room like? There were big stoves in there, weren't there?
Upstairs into
the far end of the building.
The northwest corner of the building, of the young building.
It was the same as I'd had in public school. There were counters all the way around, and you had gas. The gas was piped in, and you had a little burner or some such thing. And I think there was a big oven, I've forgotten. But, you know, the usual home ec stuff you learned.
Were you ever able to get in and do anything in the little apartment that was in behind?
Oh, that was a model home. Mm-hmm. Yes. We were taught how to set a table properly. I remember sitting around while someone, and I thought she had asked somebody else to do something, and the girl gave me a dig in the shirt. She said, "You mutt, she wants you to tell her to put the knife or something." Others, it was that sort of stuff. They wouldn't stand for it today. And we learned a little bit about babies, I think, you know, how to handle them.
Did you do sewing?
Oh, yes.
The girls had a bigger course than we did. You see, the corresponding thing would have been for the men to have done some manual training, woodwork, but we didn't get any. For the reason that there were too many of us. We were 65.
And they kept you in one class rather than
sitting
you out.
Yeah,
they had boards.
Well, they didn't have the staff to do anything else. And in between, they had the rows of desks, those that opened up, you know, and they had boards made that just fitted over with chairs in. So my name being B, I was near to the beginning. Bankshaw, Bass, Battery, Birch, Brand. You see, I was number 5, so I sat on a... Opposite me was a fellow, Ensor, I think, or something of the sort, who had to sit on a chair with this board.
They carried these boards. You'd see the boys going in the hall with their boards, you see. Those
well, they carried them into the auditorium for convenience because they were handy upon which to write.
Yeah.
You see, certain lectures we got in the auditorium. We got our lectures on history in the auditorium. Mr. Denton gave us history.
We got music in there.
And then Miss McFarlane gave us the health. In the auditorium. Well, these fellows would carry in their boards. I didn't have a board to carry, so I had to manage just with the ordinary loose leaf. But it was a happy year.
That's the nicest school year.
The nicest year. Nicest year ever I put in. Nothing
people.
Equaled it. I remember at the end, most of the people were in tears, you see. I said to Messrs. McLaren and Denton, you know, I'd willingly come back next year. I would. Had I been able to, I would have gone back the next year. I was so delighted.
Still had friends who were amazing in that year.
Now, one thing, we had the little gardens in the front, but the tennis courts were made. The tennis courts were just at the east end of the building, in front of the pergola. There was a pergola there. Well, that was tennis courts.
That was all finished and lawn then, but not this side.
Beautiful tennis courts, and we had tennis tournaments in the fall. And they ran for about 2 or 3 weeks. Also, I don't know whether you're aware, there are 2 little plunge pools in the basement. Well, they were operating then.
Yes,
after games, we could go and plunge, you see. We used those.
We had male instructors for the...
And then
Strathcona
we had Army instructors for phys ed and Strathcona Trust training.
Did you have any school teams?
Yes.
We had a school hockey team, which didn't play anything other than friendly games. But you see, these fellows who came from the interior were all expert skaters, and they played very well. I remember going down to the old arena to see them once. But we had a rugby team that won the Hayland Cup in the Intermediate League. I think I could show you a picture.
We got pictures of all those teams.
Who did you play in the rugby?
The James Bay Athletic Association and the Wanderers.
Were you on the team that year?
Yes, I was on the rugby team.
Yes, and the ice hockey.
The ice hockey would practice downtown in the arena.
Well, it was the old Willows Arena.
Oh, the Willows.
No shed.
Yes.
But that's the ladies' basketball. Look at their bloomers and things.
Yeah. But they weren't in any league.
Were you on any of the athletic teams?
No, I wasn't an athlete. No, I was on the. This was the first year literary. We had to do with the putting together of this thing in a little monthly.
The literary society.
Yeah, there's the athletic executive.
Was there a drama club there?
No. There wasn't any drama club.
Oh, I thought I
was on the annuals. I was on the annuals.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are still living. Oh, yes, we see them. We see a number of them occasionally.
Did you have a sponsor, a teacher who helped you do this?
There was a teacher, usually.
Who was your sponsor for?
I don't know who was in the literary sponsor. They had the men are with the. That's the one I find. That was Mr. Sands of Sands Undertaking Parlor. He died not long ago at 91 or 2. Look at a young man he was there. And his son's now. I taught his son in elementary school. Now he's.
I think probably Mr. Freeman would be the sponsor of the Literary Society. I wasn't on the executive, I don't know. But another thing you did too was that the amount of practice teaching we had was infinitesimal. We taught one lesson a week, that was all. And after having taught one lesson a week, you went out into your school and you taught all day, but you were able to do it because you
had to pick up and
you had practice.
How soon after you started the normal school were you let out to practice teach?
Oh, about the second or third week. You went one week to the room where you were going to teach the following week, and you observed the teacher teaching. The next week you went back and taught a lesson. And some of the lessons were pretty tough. I remember my first lesson was in a grade 8 class in Canadian history. You review the conditions leading up to and teach the terms of the Quebec Act 1774. Well, my Canadian history was a little on the weak side, so you had to do a lot of preparation. So you had to go to your own, you had to go to your the instructor in that subject for lesson help. I don't think he gave me any, this was Denton. And then after, we went Friday mornings always, the men did. And then the next Wednesday, you went to this same instructor in whose subject you had taught, and you lined up outside his office.
Knees quivering.
And you got your criticism from the teacher. You see, and you waited. So there's a whole lineup of you waiting.
Well, my first lesson was at North Ward School in the principal's office on percentage. Imagine, my first lesson, I was only 17. Yes, I was only 17. Yeah. And all fear and trembling, I got up and did it. And I went after, and the man came in to check, I think it was Mr. Denton. He sat down there, and I went after to see him. He said, oh, I didn't pay any attention. I really didn't come in to see you. I came in to see somebody else. After I'd gone through all this misery and horror.
Yes, well, the first lesson I taught was in Bob McInnes's room at Oakland School, grade 8.
Yeah, he had taught
me, too, you see. And Mr. McLaurin came in.
They were very nice.
Right? I can remember. He was very complimentary. And he said, now, Mr. Brand, there's one little thing I would mention to you. And I had used an ampersand up on the board, you see. So McInnes told me after, George, I wouldn't have put that down, but McLaurin had mentioned it to me, so I had to. These were the little things you remember.
The criticism that you got from your instructors afterwards was pretty helpful, wasn't it?
Yes, on the whole it was.
We never saw it. They just read them to us. We never ever saw them.
Oh, I saw them.
Occasionally they might let you have
them. Oh, I read them occasionally.
No, they didn't think much of ladies in those days, you see. So Mr. Brand's often telling me about what Mr. So-and-so told him. I said, he didn't tell us anything like that. He just used to glare at us, you know.
Did the girls have a favorite instructor who seemed fair to them? I've often heard of Mr. Freeman.
Oh, he was a dear, yes. Mr. Freeman was a dear, yes.
He was a dear, yes. But he wasn't...
He wasn't strong.
He wasn't the most effective teacher. Actually, what happened, he was principal of a high school up in Armstrong, and he had lost two sons in the war, and that just broke him up.
He was a dear. Really.
But he was a lovely man, but he was no instructor.
He used to take people on the classes on nature walks.
Yes, we'd go over where the commotion is now, but we'd hop the fence, and he'd find a little snake and would go in his pocket.
Yes, we see it was all wildflowers on
beautiful.
That night, over to Fowl
Bay
Road.
Was there when we were teaching at the normal school?
There was no Fowl Bay Road or Henderson through in those days. No, we would walk. And where the Uplands Golf Course, Uplands Golf Course was then in operation.
That's Mr. Freeman. Nice, kind.
A big, heavy man.
So nice.
What about Mr. Donnell? Was he there?
Yes. His daughter was there the same year.
Mr. Donnell was an old Englishman who had been taught in manual arts in England.
I liked him so much.
Most of the manual arts people of that time had been trained in England. You see, there wasn't much in Canada. Nothing in British Columbia, of course.
All the instructors were imports, weren't they, at that time?
Well, the instructors in manual arts were all imports, maybe from Eastern Canada, many of them from England.
See, the MacLean writing was just in coming involved.
See, Binns came from England, Ferry came from England, Dunnell came from England. I don't know... I had a fellow, George J., what was it, McKim, no, Mc something else. He came from Eastern Canada, I remember. But there were none locally.
Did John Goff taught manual training?
I was wondering about this MacLean method of writing. Were you taught it when you were in the normal school?
That's when I first came in contact with it. Then I taught it later.
Did you ever meet Mr. MacLean?
Oh, very good friend of mine.
We knew him well.
Did he come over to the normal school when
you
were there?
Yes, he put on show. He was a great magician. You know, he's president of the Magic Circle in Vancouver, and he was the funniest fellow. And the students just loved him when he came. He was just, and he'd throw a little hand. He wrote with, cleaned the board with both hands somehow or another, and he'd demonstrate, talking all the time.
Yes.
Just died a year ago, didn't he?
Yes.
He was a darling.
Yes, but he took up this MacLean method of writing. Quite a while after he had been teaching, he was principal of George Day School before he went to the model school. He went to the model school here. The model school consisted of two rooms, one at each end. One for the more primary grades, the other for the higher grades, you see. And he was principal there. Then he went to the Vancouver Normal as an instructor in the normal school. And in the meantime, he had developed his... He'd studied his.
He made a lot of money with that.
Yes, oh, he must have made a mint.
He was a great demand at
Yes. But he was a comical little fellow, an entertainer. You see, he would even go out to the Ocala to entertain the prisoners, and so on.
Full of jokes.
But the students just loved it. He would come over on a Friday afternoon literary society, you see. And then, of course, after the performance was through, you'd stay for an evening performance as well, but everybody was asking him to sign their autograph. So H.B. MacLean, H.B. MacLean, Henry MacLean, yes.
That wasn't the signature he told us that he used on his checks.
It could be copied. Yes.
The model schools were up at the normal school when you were learning.
Yes.
Did you get a chance to teach in them, or did you just observe?
No, some people taught, but obviously everyone couldn't. But
no, there were only the two.
Mm-hmm. See, they had three grades, there were four grades in each
section.
But my very dear friend, Marion James, taught there. She has since died.
There were only two schools in the city that we used at the time. That was Oaklands and North Ward. They were the only two. We didn't go to any other schools. And the teachers there were more or less hand-picked because of the fact that students went there. So that the Oaklands, North Ward, and the Model School were the only schools that used. I never happened to go
to them. They used... Bank Street for some primaries.
Did they? I don't recall that.
I never went there.
No. But another thing, too, you see, Denton was the man who was maybe more enterprising than the others. he would sometimes want to demonstrate a lesson in history, so he would bring in a group from the model school, put them on the platform and teach them there, you see. Demonstration lessons. When we were, when we went as instructors in the normal school, by that time the practice had developed of having demonstration lessons either in a school, when you'd bus the whole group of students down to a given school and teach the a class, a whole class, maybe in the auditorium of the school. Then when the numbers got too big for that, we would bus a group from the school up to the normal school auditorium and teach them. Mrs. Brand probably did more than anybody else there, demonstrating methods of teaching. And then after the lesson was through and the youngsters were out the road, we would have a discussion for maybe an hour, pointing out what was done and why it was done and so on. And those were really quite helpful. What happens sometimes, of course, is that, you know, each teacher varies in his her way, and you'd find some students trying to ape the method of the teacher without being able to pull it off, because they didn't have the personality or the experience or anything else. But again, they saw what was done. They could follow the thing logically through.
The normal school year really did teach you everything that possibly
did. Oh, well, now, as far as methods of teaching are concerned, there's no comparison between what it did and what the Faculty of Education does. The Faculty of Education can't compare as far as the ordinary handling of a class is concerned. There's no comparison.
The normal school is really a training school.
It's a training school.
Now, it wouldn't work if it did then.
Well, maybe it should be made to work.
Yeah.
You see, I was one who, at the time when there was talk of changing the normal school over and putting teacher training under the department, was not in favor of granting university credit for the normal school end of the work, because I didn't think it was university-type work, and still don't, frankly. I don't think students should be given credit for a methods course. You can't examine on it. You have to wait to see what the student does when he gets out. But, as I say, no comparison at all. None whatever.
When you were attending normal school, there wasn't much of a social life, was there?
Well, it was a different kind of social life. We formed a club. There were always some enterprising people. There were some in the men's class who were pretty enterprising. So they formed a club. And we had dances downtown in the top of what was the Campbell Building, you know, the one that's been torn down. And there was a conservative club up there, had nice rooms, and we would hold periodic dances there. But it was nothing to do with the normal school.
It was just your friends.
Yes, but it was only normal school people who were there and their guests.
Yes, yes. But we had parties.
A Halloween party was really
a good one.
But you see, the principal was against smoking, and I guess there were some other things too. But that didn't affect too many of us, because we were only 17, a lot of us, and smoking wasn't prevalent. No woman smoked that I knew of in those days.
And then furthermore, you had your work to do.
Yeah.
You had homework to do, so you were kept busy.
Oh, you're always making bird books,
or studying the notes
or
you
samplers,
got.
Or
we got notes galore.
Oh, yes, new.
And you studied them so that you could handle the stuff. And we had fairly frequent tests, you know, to see how you were proceeding.
You were a local boy, weren't you?
Yes.
So you knew people. Mrs. Brand, were you from
mm-hmm.
Victoria?
Oh, yeah.
Well, did you get to know people from out of
town?
Oh,
town? Sure. As a class, you were a family, a unit.
Yeah.
I knew every one of the fellows intimately. And occasionally met them after I went on to the staff and used to travel through the province.
We meet them throughout the province.
So here's a fellow, for instance, a fellow who became principal of the high school in Penticton, Dudley Pritchard.
Yeah.
I used to see him nearly every year.
They always wanted to come over for dinner.
Yeah, another fellow, Crowley, with whom I boarded at UBC for a while. Taught in Princeton.
Yeah.
And Loomer, who is now here, Yes. Oh, there's one you can go. She could go to.
Yes, but Claire Loomer.
Claire Loomer.
I've spoken.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, Loomer was our year, you see. Here, he was vice principal up at Nelson.
Yes, he was out of town, boy.
He was out of town.
Well, all these out-of-towners, they had to board here,
yeah,
didn't
they? They had to board.
Had
there was no option, but mm-hmm. boarding was easy.
And they worked for a board, a lot of the girls.
Yeah. We had a great big long list of boarders, and not everybody who wanted boarders could get them, you know. People took in boarders in those days.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody could afford to have a little apartment of her own. And
well, one girl sat behind me, I think her name was Cullen. See, I was Copeland. Yeah. Devessa Cullen came from Summerlin, and she lived on $5 a week. $5 a week.
Yeah.
She had a little room on Alfred Street, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Was there a tuition fee?
No. The
later paid. There was, but not.
Yes,
they're encouraging people.
The prison nearly paid you to come. As I say, they paid your railway fare.
Those who needed it.
No.
When you got your books, were they given to you as well?
No.
You had to buy
Yes,
them?
Your books were
Well, good. Not all, no.
What books did we didn't buy any books? No, dear, we didn't buy any books.
Well, they gave us all the free textbooks.
They
gave
you all the textbooks, and that's all you needed. And as far as we had no books on the methods of history, the methods of geography, no books on psychology.
Oh, we had to buy a Lady of the Lake or something.
We had a few lectures in psychology, but no texts. You just depended on your notes. Or you could read on your own. They had a little library.
Was that very useful, that little library that was up there?
No,
well,
not there.
It was for a lesson, you know, when you needed to look up
Something
stuff for
about
a
Africa
lesson.
Or something.
Yes, yes.
But small. But
you see, you would get, you'd have to teach a lesson. I recall one lesson I had to teach on Yugoslavia. Well, Yugoslavia had just been developed. I knew geography pretty well, but I didn't know anything about Yugoslavia. You see, this was 1922, and Yugoslavia didn't come into being till 1919, 1920, so. You got a little bit of information about Yugoslavia. There was very little to them.
You had to pay your own car fare up there. Mount Tommy number 10.
Yeah, you paid your own car
we
fare.
Lived over here.
But most of us rode bikes, you see.
A lot
of the fellows, I rode a bike all the time, except when it was snowy. And except on the day when you went teaching, because you put on your good clothes that day. You had to dress up.
And everybody knew you were going to teach because you'd have a stuffed bird in your hand. Some crazy piece.
But then, you see, everybody dressed properly. Anyhow, the boys all wore a collar and tie. There was never anything else. But you put on a specially good suit when you went to teach. Yeah.
Oh, and a final banquet show downtown and all that.
Yeah.
Yes. Where was that held?
And it's what Eaton's have their furniture now. That was Chamber of Commerce.
Chamber of Commerce
Hall.
Chamber of Commerce Hall.
That was a hall for rent. They had a banquet. And they didn't
We entertained all the critic teachers, you see, all those, the teachers of North Ward, Oaklands, and the model school.
They were I don't remember them being there at all.
Don't you?
No.
Well, I remember very well, and I had to give a talk there, unfortunately. And some of us, were deputed to take in one of the teachers. I said, all right, I'll take in Miss Wallace. This was Etta Wallace.
Oh, yeah, you knew her.
I knew her, so I took her in.
They used to have teas and special dues in the years following for all the critics, as they called them, teachers. They'd have a nice tea. Or give them tickets to the annual performance of the drama club.
Oh yes, when we became teachers, we gave them all tickets to the annual concert. You see,
that was a big deal.
And
we had
it was
a
three night affair because you know we covered the whole city. And then later on in the normal school days, towards the end anyway, I was looking after the placing of students, and I'd get a list from the school board of the staff of every school in the city. Then I'd have to go up to the school board to meet the municipal inspector, or the district superintendent, as he later became, and find out to which teachers I shouldn't send students because, you know, somebody was having a little bit of a problem, somebody had been sick for a while and shouldn't have, or this one was new and you better not send anybody there, then all the rest. And they just got
You've seen this one at the school. Didn't look different then, no?
Yes.
So that these gardens were all down there, but look, no, this.
With the rose arbors down there when you were.
This trellis.
The trellis, the upper trellis was there.
Yeah,
that's where the tennis courts were, just in front of that, you see.
That's where my office was, right there, before going out to the north.
It was in the front of the building, was it? Down east?
Yes.
You were up above me, weren't you?
Yes, you were there.
I had the principal's office.
Yeah,
was there a fireplace in there?
Yes.
Yes, I had a fireplace. They took it out during the time I was there. I was broken hearted when they
Well, I remember when Mr. McLaurin was there, he used to have a fire going.
Yes, that was
the Why did they take them out, do you know?
Some crazy idea of the building down the department that lost heat or something by being opened there. And when this building was a hospital, my office was for terminal cases.
Oh, dear.
Big enough to take
one day. The hospital really upset the building quite a bit.
Yes.
Yeah. I went there to have my tests. I joined the Air Force, you see, and I went up there to have my medical. I didn't know my way around at all because they had partitions everywhere.
They put an elevator in there too
during the war.
Did you ever use that later on as instructors?
Well, the students weren't allowed to use it. We or the janitors were allowed to use it to haul up any stuff.
I don't think I ever used the thing.
Not just personally to get to the top. No,
no, I never bothered with it. I'd forgotten there was an elevator.
How long did you teach up at the normal school?
Well, I taught from
47
to 69. That was also college and also university.
Well, 47 to 56 was normal school. And then 56 to 62 was Victoria College. And then 62 on to the time we retired, 69 was university.
Did you find it a strain or a real difference in that transition period when it stopped being a normal school?
Well, it was no strain. There was a difference, all right. However, we still held on to some of the characteristics, but they have all gone now. Because, you see, one of the requirements of anybody who went into the normal school is that he had been a successful teacher over a period of years. Now, there was no particular period laid down, but it was sort of understood that maybe 12 years was a decent period. Well, once teacher education was handed over to the university, that just went by the board because you wanted in some specialist who had never been in a classroom, you see. So that was the difference. Whereas in normal school days, you knew that everybody who was teaching had had classroom experience and could draw on that experience. Now they can't. Some may have lectured in a previous university, but there are several of them who've never been in a classroom, other than as a sort of an observer.
You see, we shared the building with Victoria College for, the year we were there, the year before they had come. And there was a little bit of trouble sometimes there. You know, the college people didn't know that we owned the building. You see, we were Department of Education. Or they'd throw snowballs and, you know, this sort of thing.
Yes, there's a little bit
of friction there between the students.
And, of course, the principals of the two institutions didn't get on well together, you see, so that didn't help matters.
I've heard that the difference in the students was also very big.
Oh, yes. You see, the college students could smoke and do what, but we didn't allow them to smoke in our end, no, sir.
In the rooms or anything.
And we didn't allow them to use our telephone. We had a telephone for our students, and if we found one of them using our telephone...
Because they would phone long distance, you see.
We'd chase them
Which
off.
Which end was the normal school in?
The East End. And then every year there was a battle over what rooms could be used. This was between the two principals because the normal school was increasing in numbers, you see, as was the college. But... we used to like it once the college year was through and we had the building to ourselves. We didn't have them bothering us.
Yes, because you went on a few more months.
Yeah.
Yes,
you?
We went on.
Yeah,
we went on nearly till the end of June.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Never think of it anymore.
No, you'd forgotten. However, there was no friction between faculty and faculty.
Oh, no,
we got on well. We knew all the college
the teachers
people.
Too, a lot of them.
We knew them by name.
Hickman, Wallace, all of them.
We shared a sort of a little lounge with them, but it was the two principals who didn't hit it particularly well.
Both gone, long gone.
Yeah, both gone.
Did you find a difference in the students themselves once the normal school was phased out? Were they less serious?
Well, it happened very gradually, and happened as a result, I would say, primarily of the sorts of courses they had to take. You see, no longer was it merely a training year. It was partially an academic year and partially a professional year. And the fact that they had these college instructors who were some of them wild and some of them erudite and everything in between, you see, had an effect on the students, yes. Formerly, for example, in normal school days, one of the requirements of teacher training always was that for every lesson you taught, you prepared a lesson plan. Well, in normal school days, you could bat anybody down who didn't have a lesson plan, and he knew, she knew, that this lesson plan had to be produced.
And prepared, that was the thing, preparation.
And preparation was part of your preparation. This was an indication you had prepared your lesson. And again, in normal school days, perhaps there was an emphasis upon every lesson being a tidy, neat little package. Now, when you got into the university area, that went by the board. Gradually, there's still an attempt to keep it going. They still have to prepare plans, but not the tidy jobs that ours were. No. And as I've said before, and I can't emphasize enough, as far as the training goes, the handling of a classroom, there's absolutely no comparison. But even the BCTF now, I feel, wouldn't want the normal school training, tidy way of doing things, because every teacher has to use his her own way. Now, I recall being up once in Trail, speaking to the district superintendent who was then there, telling me about a certain young woman who was teaching up in Rossland. And he had gone into the room and didn't care at all for her reading, teaching of reading. And he said to her, "Now, Miss So-and-so, were you not taught at normal school to do this or that or the next thing?" And she said, "Oh, yes. Mr. Lucas was his name, Mr. Lucas, but I thought I would, we're always encouraged to try our own method." He said, "Very well, Miss So-and-so, that's quite all right. But before you try a method, make sure it's a method." You see? And that was the sort of training we got. If you found something, you could vary, but make sure it was a method that had been well thought out, not just something that occurred to you off the cuff. So there was a big difference, yes. And I can recall at the time we were discussing going into the Victoria College situation. In the Victoria College situation, we were part of the College of Ed. Did they call it the College of Education?
College or faculty?
No, it wasn't the faculty. School of Education. No, it wasn't the school. It's something. Our dean really was the Dean Scarfe of UBC. We were under UBC, as it were, you see. And I recall when we had meetings, I was on a committee when we were drawing up the curriculum. What curriculum would we suggest for the training, the 1 year, 2 year, so on, training of teachers? I recall talking to the then principal of the Vancouver Normal School, that was Tat Boyes, and he had said, "Now, we're going to insist on certain things when we become part of the university. One is the morning assembly," which of course went by the board. They would laugh at it. But this was the morning assembly when we came in, read the scriptures, had the Lord's Prayer, and probably a program, and
groups together.
And that was where the announcements of the day were made, and that pulled you together. You see, and that's the way they were thinking even before we went into the Faculty of Education.
You were still having these morning assemblies at the end of the normal school life as well when you were still
in school. Oh, yes, yeah, right to the very last day. Right to the very last day. I remember English saying to me, "George, we need a new Bible. I would like a Bible, one that you could hold up." I said, "All right." So I got one from Frank Hamilton, you see, through a purchase order.
Oh, they just have skits, and they take off the staff, all that sort of thing. Lots of fun, all the good, clean fun.
Yes. Was each class responsible for... Mm-hmm.
For a week.
For a week?
Yes, I had all...
In the morning assembly.
In the morning assembly.
Yes.
Yes.
Can you remember anything that you did when you...
Oh, yes, I had a dandy group, particularly the...
Well, she had all women, and that was easy.
And I had... I was fortunate in the women I had, and I had one who... she'd done all sorts of things, a married woman. And she dragged goofy girls into this. One day we'd have sort of an operetta. Another day we'd have something very funny.
Oh, you used to have parades, you know, the girls dressed up.
We did the Mexican, at Christmas time, we did that Mexican
piñata.
The posada. And all the girls carried candles. They wouldn't be allowed to carry candles, light a candle today. They came down the hall and up the center aisle, all singing this posada song. And they had this big posada, which they all hit with sticks and danced, and the gifts all flowed out. You know, you sort of vied, they did, to put it on a good program.
Oh, yeah.
They were marvelous, weren't they?
Yes, it was sort of a little competition. Unofficial, I mean, there was no prize.
No prize or anything.
Nothing was ever said, but, gee, these fellows have done well.
Division three, huh?
We better do.
Yeah.
Some of them were straightforward
talks. Talk on hometown. Talk. Yes.
Oh, yes. One of the things we always did near the beginning of the year was have students talk about their hometown.
Well, they were interesting. Too.
Summerlin, Penticton, Kamloops, Fernie,
Cranville,
Michelle, Natal, you know, Prince George, Pooscoopy. It was most interesting.
It'd be an education.
Oh, right. Yes.
And
yes.
Fun to start the
And
day.
Some of them would have a map on the board.
Yeah.
And then I remember one boy from Oliver, Little Wilson, you recall?
Yeah.
Little Wilson talked on the new high school there. The
Taj Mahal, they called it.
The Taj Mahal. It was the first $1 million high school in the province.
Yeah.
It's now, it's still a good school, but it was the first of the new modern school.
And I always had nuns, they used to come for the teaching.
Did they?
And I had as many as five in one section. And they were in full habit then, you see. They were just best sports. They'd look after a program. They'd giggle. They had a lovely time.
They would play baseball too, running around in their heads.
Fix up their skirts. And I always had them all to tea at my house once a year. Oh, we had a lovely time.
Yeah.
You taught the primary education.
Uh-huh. And I taught penmanship to everybody. Mm-hmm. And I taught teaching and reading to the boys too, because... they were likely to be principals and should know, you see.
Not only that, in those days they were still going to ungraded schools.
That's right.
Some, not many, but they were still ungraded, everything from 1 to 8.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, and some of our students used to have to go to these ungraded schools. I remember one up at Notch Hill outside of Simon Arm, where people taught everything from grade 1 to 8. You had to be an organizer then, because you jumped here, there, set them all
Make
to work.
Make a
good
timetable, and I'll take it.
Oh, yes, the timetable was the most important thing then. Now that, students today just wouldn't have any idea about, because they've got nobody up there who's had any experience. Of course, the ungraded school has pretty well gone, because we have the consolidated school. But again, you see, these great big schools are being broken up. People are objecting to have their youngsters out on the roadway at 20 minutes to 8 to catch the bus. It's too early for youngsters. So they're having little local 2 and 3 room schools.
And taught them how to run a Christmas concert, getting programs for it.
Yes.
And they put them on in the assembly, some of them, you know, so they had experience. Because you always have to do a Christmas concert in the school. It has some share in it.
Yeah. Even I had to do that and knew nothing about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was wondering, when you were instructing the primary education, did you ever have a chance to build their self-confidence up? Because some of the girls were very young and they'd go out to the one-room schools and some of their students would be almost as old as they were.
Mm-hmm. Well, by the time they left normal school, they had quite a fair degree of confidence in handling ordinary youngsters, and they always had primary experience, and they always had lesson help, and if they were going to practice teaching in a rural school, then too, of course, they had to have, the teachers always sent in what they wanted taught for the 3 weeks, and then they'd have to draw up a timetable, and we'd have lesson help in whatever they needed, and look over all their arrangements and visual aids and this day, they weren't like beavers, they really
did. Yes, I always felt that the girls who opted for the primary option, who were interested in primary, gained more than anybody else out of normal school, because you see, my wife had them for reading and all the ancillary arts, language, you see, which is the large part of the primary work. So when you went out to see these youngsters teach, they were always well trained, as opposed to those in the upper grades, where they had somebody teaching arithmetic, somebody teaching science, somebody else teaching language, and so on. And furthermore, when you got to the upper grades, I was responsible for the teaching of science. Now, I was supposed to be teaching science methods, but what I had to do was to try to teach some elementary science, because these people knew nothing, you see. And that was one of the difficulties. The same way with a fellow teaching social studies. These people didn't know one place from another. They hardly knew where the continents were. The product of social studies in the school, which is a dead loss. They don't teach anything.
No,
certainly they don't teach any geography anyway, you see. So that was a sort of difficulty. The primary girls, on the other hand, were very, very well equipped. Much better, relatively, than those in the other grades. That isn't to say that there were any better students at all.
More methods, you see.
Yes, more methodical.
They all knew how to add to 10 and...
Did more women go in for the primary grades than men?
Oh, well,
no men.
Yes.
No
men.
They all took the course, but they didn't.
It's traditional, you see, it's traditional. They're trying to break through now. But I recall my day as a student in normal school, the principal, Mr. McLaurin, saying to us, "Gentlemen, that's a woman's job." This was the primary grade.
There are a lot of men in it now. Or not a lot.
Yes,
I see in Victoria someone's teaching kindergarten.
But I still prefer a woman teaching the...
little
boys. Yes, I still do. Because a lot of mothering has to be done with them, and a man can't mother very well.
Well, we gave them help in how to dress and keep themselves nice in front of the classroom. A lot of them didn't know that, through no fault of their own. Nowadays,
didn't think about it even.
They using it derogatory, that sort of stuff.
One thing you used to have to do, one thing that's gone by the board now, you used to have to try to emphasize blackboard work.
Oh, yeah.
See, writing on the blackboard is so important. The stuff that goes on the board is just awful. See, in our day as students, we would have got rapped down for it.
Making practice after.
Yeah, you had. Well, we did.
We did practice on the board, Micah.
We used to go out and practice.
Yeah.
Of course, they did in years after school.
The left-handed people had a bit of trouble.
Yeah. The men wouldn't practice.
No. Your school day, when you were students, would be regular school day for us, like in the elementary schools, wouldn't it?
Well,
nine
the lectures went
no,
over
it varied a little
years,
bit,
so.
Depending on your timetable. I know that we were 65, and because we were a big group, there was just so much that we were always through at 2:30. But that was just the luck of the draw. The girls weren't. That's because there weren't enough instructors to do anything more, and the instructors, they can only do so much in a day. I remember talking to Dr. McLaurin afterwards when we were marking matriculation papers once. We were talking about the days gone by. I said, that was murder. He said, it was murder. You know, the way they had to work. Oh, yes.
So the rest of your afternoon would be prepared.
You see, we had only, we were 245 students, and I think we had five instructors, didn't we?
Something
about five instructors.
And many of the girls worked for their board, which meant they had to be home by 4 o'clock, too, or the lady would be mad at them. They worked night and day.
Oh, yes, yes. That's why there wasn't so much social life.
Yes.
There was no time
for
it.
Working for their board.
No. I went home and studied my notes. And
painted your birds.
Painted
your
birds
and your
read
your flower book.
Read up what I had to read.
I also in normal school was a manual labor before. You're always
we had to do drawings for Dunnell.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Practice our McLean method.
Practice your McLean method.
Write out all the time.
But everything that you created at normal school, you used later on when you were teaching.
Yes,
pretty well. Yes,
yeah.
I didn't use my birds, but I threw them away. Mine were no good.
I weren't an artist.
But I kept my notes on.
Yes, I have some of my notes still.
Well, I'm sorry I have mine, but I can remember the grammar that Maclaurin gave us, and I think that stimulated my interest in grammar. Other than that, I was interested in languages, and you become interested in grammar.
Yeah, right down a few years later, because my sister was there from 25 to 26, and he was away.
Yes, yes. Well, that was after the Putman Weir report.
Yeah, he was upset.
It hit him hard. Mm. It was unfair, really, because he was really reproducing what was required in the times, and along came these two who were ahead of the times, you see. They gave him a merciless treatment. True, the normal school needed upgrading as far as its methods go, but I think they could have been a little more charitable.
Did anything good come out of that report?
Oh, yes. It probably resulted in more changes than any subsequent one, certainly much more than the Champ report did. It got away from the stereotyped reading of notes and requiring of notes from students and this sort of thing, and began to let a little more fresh air into the whole thing, I would say. And it was indirectly responsible, amongst other things, which I don't think necessarily was a good thing, for the introduction of the junior high school, which was probably a bit of, I don't know whether it was a mistake or not, but they haven't been altogether successful.